that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. This old house is the body that you live in. It's the body that I live in. And we're not interested in remodeling this old house. We're interested in using this old house to get to heaven, using the abilities and the talents God has given us to spend the time of our sojourning, our camping trip here on earth, in fear. We're getting ready for a house that God has for us, an eternal one that's waiting in heaven for us. Now, as you think of this old house, and you think of the idea of it being old, you might wonder, why should a 33-year-old man talk about this old house? Why not have somebody who's been around longer talk about this old house? I wondered that too. But as I got to think about it, I thought, no, this is a good idea. Because now's the time to start thinking about this old house. In fact, if you don't start thinking about this old house until you're 33, you've waited too long. Way too long. Solomon says we should start thinking about this old house when we're young. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. This description that Paul just gave us in 2 Corinthians 5 is a description of how the house is wearing down. The house that we live in now is a house that we groan in. We groan in this house. Isn't it a battle? Isn't it difficult to live in this house? It's similar to a camping trip. Camping trips, for I suppose several of us here have gone camping at some time or another. Camping trips don't have all the comforts of home, or at least they may have several of them, but they don't have all of them. Camping trips are just temporary situations. And the Bible is trying to get us to see that our life here on earth is just a temporary situation. Jesus tried to get us to see that when he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If the light that is in you is good, then that, I'm paraphrasing Jesus, then your sight is, you see the right things. But if the light is in you, that is in you is evil, is darkness, how great is that darkness? It goes back to our sight. Do you see the house that God has for you in heaven? If you see that house, it will keep you from laying up treasure on earth. It will keep you from losing your heart here in the earth. If your heart's here in the earth, God can't have it. It's out of His reach. God wants your heart. But we can't give Him our heart if our sight is on the earthly things. If we're thinking more of this old house and the world that we live in than we should. Yes, you see, everything that we see this evening is going to pass away. Even our Bibles, as we see them right now, everything is going to pass away. That's why John tells us in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of the Father abides forever. If anyone loves the world, John said, the love of the Father is not in him. He's trying to get us to look at what is really valuable. So however, whatever age you are tonight, think about the body you're in. Let us consider how fleeting our time is for just a moment. James tells us in the 4th chapter of James, in verse 14, talking to those who brag about tomorrow, as though tomorrow is guaranteed to them. He says, wait a minute, you that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a city and continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. We have big plans for this old house. But James says, you don't know what's on tomorrow, do you? You don't know what tomorrow is. Somebody says, well, tomorrow's Labor Day. Well, it's supposed to be Labor Day. But we don't know if we've got it, do we? We've got right now, but we don't know if we have tomorrow. You don't know what's on tomorrow. What is your life? It's like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. That's your life. That's what God says your life is. It's short. And everything, everywhere you look, you can see testimony of this. Everywhere you listen, you'll hear testimony of it. I saw a sports page the other day. Don't see it very often. But I couldn't help but notice as I looked at the sports page, all these articles about different athletics, tennis, golf, baseball. It seemed like every one of these articles had testimony to the fact that things are changing all the time. Things don't stay the same. They just, the superstar of today is going to be tomorrow's has-been. The superstar of yesterday is today's has-been. Talking about one golfer from Spain and how he's fading now, and another young golfer is coming up to take his place. One article talked about a former high school football star in the St. Louis area who was put on waivers after a fairly decent career, but now he's on waivers. His career is starting to go down. Life, all flesh is as grass, the Bible says. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower fades. But the Word of God stands forever. And whoever does the will of God abides forever. The things we say will testify to the shortness of life. When you see somebody you haven't seen for a long time, is that really you? and a compliment that we pay to each other is, you sure haven't changed much. Because it's normal to change. And kids grow up so fast. Who can keep track of how fast the kids grow? All that's saying is that we're not here very long. It's saying that time is going by fast. We are swiftly turning life's pages. They're not standing still. What are we heading for? Woe to the man who doesn't have God in his picture. For without God in the picture, life is vanity. It's meaningless. It's pointless. It's just going in circles, spinning around and around and around. It's like a top. No meaning at all. But with God in the picture, everything changes. I'm changing. I'm not this old house that I live in. It's not the same old house that I was in 7 years ago. They say, if I understand the scientists, that your body cells change every 7 years. The cells you have in you right now aren't the same ones you had 7 years ago. Some of you think, yeah, that's right. That explains it. Everything's changing. I weigh more than I weighed in high school. Things are changing. And as we think of the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes, this is the foundation. We are here on earth for a purpose. If you refuse to put God in this picture, then it doesn't make any sense. But if God is the one you fear, if He is the source of your wisdom and understanding, then it all falls into place. He describes this picture in Ecclesiastes, and we'll notice in particular the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. Like I said, this is especially important for those of us who are young, because it is in the days of our youth that we need to turn our attention to God, who is, how is He described? Who is our Creator. You are created. You did not make yourself. You are not responsible for your good looks or your good understanding. God made you. He made you for a certain purpose. You need to turn your attention to Him. If you don't understand things about life, then talk to the one who put you here. Find out from Him what's He got in mind. And you'll find that what He has in mind for you is good. It's for your eternal well-being. That's all God has in mind for you. Do this now when you're young. Because as Brother Melvin was talking today about sacrifice, God is offended by sloppy sacrifices. It is the height of insult to take the best and use it for yourself and then give what's left to God. That isn't right. If I had a bouquet of roses and was supposed to deliver them to someone, and I just decided I would take those roses for myself, I would smell them, I would do with them as I pleased. I would take my time with those roses, not give them to the one they belong to. I would just take them for myself. And then I would notice those roses begin to fade. Those roses would no longer be beautiful. And then I'd say, oh yeah, I was supposed to give these to somebody. Okay, well, I'll go ahead and give them. What kind of a gift would that be? But that's what a person does when they take their youth and they waste it on themselves. They take their youth and say, I'm only young once. That's what the world told me. I'm only young once. And I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to see what's out there. I'm going to see what the world has for me. What about the one who put you here? Don't you trust him? Don't you know that what he has for you is so much better than anything the world has for you? The world's lying to you. The world is going to use you and throw you away. God's not going to do that at all. He's going to take care of you, and he's going to form you into a Christ-like person who bears the image and glory of God. And you need to start serving Christ when you're young so that you don't become an old, sour man, a bitter old woman who regrets all the wasted time they spend here on earth in this old house. Solomon describes aging. He describes those evil days. If you've lived your life and wasted your time, then when old age comes, you look back with regret. It hurts to think of what you did with your life. And this is a real poetic description here. I don't understand all of the applications of these phrases Solomon uses, but I know that these are a beautiful and appropriate description of aging and of what it must be like when the body is old and no longer has the strength that it once had in the days of youth. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Brethren, if all your life is physical things, old age is going to be a time of sorrow. Because if all you've got is physical, then all you'll have is this old house. And this old house, the eyes start to dim. They start to dim. My eyes used to be pretty good. But I have to squint more now. And it may not be very long until I have to wear glasses. It was nice to have good eyesight. But it was better to use that eyesight for the Lord, to look into His Word, to see what He had to say to me. And I hope that as long as I have eyesight, I'll be able to do that. The hearing starts to go. Can you imagine how frustrating it is for older people to try to talk when their hearing is going? And we take our hearing for granted. What are you using your ears for? What are you listening to? Someday you may lose your hearing, or at least it will diminish. Will you regret the time you spent listening to things, or will you be glad for all the things you've listened to? In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Weakness. The strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few. Did you ever see that billboard that says, sure, you'll keep your teeth when you're old, but where? The grinders cease because they're few. Tooth decay, rotting in your mouth. That's reality. But that's what's going to happen. That's what happens. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. You don't enjoy pleasure as much as you grow old as you did when you were younger. If pleasure is all you live for now when you're young, what's going to happen when you're old? You need to find the pleasure that comes from serving God. the pleasure from meditating day and night in His Word. Because even when you're old, it still satisfies. Even when the things of this world are not quite as appealing, this always refreshes. They wake up at the sound of the bird. They're not heavy sleepers. You young people like to sleep in the morning? How late can you sleep? Can you sleep till 11? Can you sleep till in the afternoon? When you get old, you can't do that as well. What are you doing in the time that you are awake? And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, the gray hair, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Even the little things can become a problem. Sometimes when people get old, it's like they've gone in a circle. They started out as a child, and they circled all the way back around to becoming a child again. Old people can be childish. Are you preparing for old age? Preparing for a time when the greatest pleasures will have to come from somewhere else besides this old house? Desire shall fail because man goes to his long home and the mourners go about the streets. Man goes to his long home. Don't you see? Christ went away to prepare a place. Who was He He was preparing it for whosoever will. But unfortunately, many people will not. They will not. And here's a description of death. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. How do those words make you feel? Have you thought of what death is like? The silver cord is loosed, the golden bowl broken, the pitcher broken at the fountain, and the wheel broken at the cistern. Very important things, aren't they? And they're all broken, disconnected, severed. Death. Death. It is coming. It's an inevitable appointment. And this is not intended to threaten. These are the facts. This is the way it is. If a person ignores the facts, all they can be left to is their own delusion. But these are the facts. And all you have to do is look and you see the facts. If you're not convinced of the reality of death, if you're not convinced of the reality of old age, go to a nursing home. Go to a nursing home every week, if you can. See what old age is like. And ask yourself, what kind of shape do I want to be in when I'm old? This old house, it's not getting any younger. This old house is heading towards the final destination. What is it? God told us in the beginning, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. Your old house is made of dust, and it's going to return to the dust. Well, what about the insides? What about you, you spiritual person? The spirit shall return unto God who gave it. The body goes to the dust. The spirit goes to God. This old house is not meant to be here very long, but it's long enough to give us time to repent, time to get prepared for our long home. And I hope that each and every one of us here will live in such a way, be such good custodians of this old house, that we'll be ready when it's time for our spirit to go back to God who gave it.